Rwanda may not be on the radar of all Americans, but human rights groups have been closely watching a referendum there. And on Friday, results showed Rwandans voted to allow two-term President Paul Kagame to run for a third, fourth, even fifth term if he wants. Kagame led the rebel forces that ended the Rwandan genocide in 1994. As president, he's been praised for bringing about economic growth. But you know the saying about absolute power. His critics say he's ruled with a heavy, even abusive hand, and that Rwandans were afraid to vote against changing the constitution to allow him to run again. The BBC's Catherine Biaruhanga covered the vote. She's now back in Kampala, Uganda. And Catherine, Rwanda has been one of the fastest-growing African economies. Isn't that reason enough for Rwandans to vote yes on this referendum?
I think that's one of the things that lots of people in Rwanda have said and outside of Rwanda. We spoke to some of the voters who had turned up to vote on Friday. Some of them told us that we appreciate what he has done to develop the country. Just looking around East Africa where Rwanda is, things like healthcare is much better. I was surprised you drive on the roads and there are no potholes on the main streets, whereas in Kampala where I am, it's just terrible. But at the same time, his critics say that it's not just about economic development. You also need to have freedom of speech, freedom to associate peacefully. And so that's where the tension is when it comes to President Paul Kagame.
Well, the White House National Security Council released a statement over the weekend saying that they were concerned by longstanding restrictions on peaceful assembly, free expression in Rwanda. They urged the President Kagame to establish a foundation for democracy in Rwanda and an example for the region. And critics have said that, you know, his move, although Kagame is saying that he's just abiding by the will of the people, but if he extends his presidency, it'll be as other African leaders have done. And that didn't end well. Next door in Burundi, when the president there said last spring he would seek a third term, violence erupted that claimed hundreds of lives. Is that the sense there that this could lead to that kind of, you know, reaction to totalitarianism?
I think Rwanda is different to Burundi in the sense that I think generally people will accept that President Paul Kagame is popular. The question is that, as you said, that ability for opposition leaders to be able to associate freely, speak out. At the same time, the United States is walking a very fine line, because for a lot of Rwandans, a lot of people in East Africa do not appreciate the fact that the United States is sort of interfering in a domestic issue, same as the European Union. And the Rwandese government has been very unequivocal about this and said this is a domestic affair. Yeah. There's no place for the United States or the European Union to get involved and dare tell us what we should do. So it puts the United States in a very tricky position there.
Well, the feeling there might be underscored by the history, the memory that the United States and other countries were so late to come to Rwanda during the genocide, when it was Paul Kagame, as we said, who is credited with ending it in 1994. It was a massacre of ethnic Tutsis by Hutus. Just before we let you go, Catherine, what is the relationship between those two groups now?
Publicly, and the government has been very clear, and it's carried out so many programs where it's made an attempt to reconcile the two sides. So, for example, they set up the Gachacha courts, which were traditional courts. So there will be, you know, heavy sentences passed down to people who were involved in planning and carrying out the genocide. But at the same time, there was an attempt to try and reconcile the two sides. It is illegal to talk about tribes and try to ask people in Rwanda, are you a Tutsi, are you a Hutu? So it's a very difficult thing to talk about, and I wouldn't want to hedge my bets on it either. But the government has tried to reconcile the differences, and you have situations where, you know, a neighbor might have killed somebody's husband, but now they live together, they work together. But at the same time, there are questions as to how truthfully and genuinely that reconciliation has been for the whole country.
And just a quick question, we could spend an hour on this, but is there a sense that Paul Kagame keeps that, you know, kind of uneasy, fragile peace?
I think there has been a tremendous effort, and you speak to people there has been a tremendous effort to try and push the country forward. And if you look at, for example, the health service, it's one of the few countries in the region that has a functioning health service. There's medication you can get in Rwanda that you can't get in Uganda, which is a bigger economy than Rwanda, for example. So there is a sense that there has been a tremendous effort to push the country forward. The question is, has that come at a cost of, you know, freedom, liberties? So that's a massive debate happening in this region at the moment.
The BBC's Catherine Biaruhanga talking about the referendum in Rwanda that will allow sitting President Paul Kagame to run again. Catherine, thank you.
Thank you for having me.